This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Imagine a high-value enterprise client is looking for exactly what your company sells.
Mm-hmm.
But before they even get a chance to see your website, an AI bot has already silently disqualified you.
Yeah, that's happening a lot right now.
And why? Because you sounded too much like everyone else.
Exactly.
So today we are looking at a really fascinating guide on brand positioning strategy. It's by Joe Medico from Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Right.
And it tackles this exact scenario. Because, I mean, it is terrifying for business owners.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
Our mission for this deep dive is to figure out how to build a single, highly structured, machine-readable positioning statement.
Yeah, a filter, basically.
Right, a filter that cuts through all the noise. And we want to see how to turn a completely fragmented marketing approach into a scalable growth engine.
Yeah, and the premise here, I think it really challenges a lot of legacy marketing habits that we're all so used to.
Like what kind of habits?
Well, you know, we're used to thinking of positioning as just writing a catchy slogan.
Yeah.
Or maybe a really clever about us page.
Right, the creative stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But what Medico is laying out here is essentially an operational identity crisis.
An identity crisis.
Yeah, I mean, when a business scales without a really rigorous unified strategy, a central filter, the marketing just naturally fragments into a million contradictory pieces.
The guide points out a very specific symptom of this fragmentation too, which I see all the time.
Oh yeah, it's everywhere.
You'll see a company run a campaign 1 week that leads entirely with aggressive price discounts.
Right, 20% off everything.
Yeah, and then the next week the creative team pivots.
Yeah.
And suddenly the messaging is all about being this premium bespoke service.
Right. You can't be both.
No. And then give it a few days and they're shouting about rapid delivery speeds.
That kind of thrashing around, it leaves internal creative teams completely unmoored.
Unmoored.
Because when there's no distinct point of view or, you know, a defined market differentiation to anchor to those teams, just default to producing incredibly broad generic content.
Because they have to, right?
Right. They try to be everything to everyone. Which means they are nothing to anyone.
It actually reminds me of a local restaurant near me that just can't figure out its concept.
Oh, I know the type.
Yeah, like say a place opens up as an authentic high-end sushi bar.
Okay.
But a week later, they put up this massive banner out front that says Half Price Taco Tuesdays.
Oh, no.
Right. And then by the weekend, they're out on the sidewalk advertising quick serve breakfast sandwiches.
That's a mess.
Exactly. So as a local walking by, you have absolutely no idea what they actually do well.
Yeah.
Or who they're even for.
So you just keep walking.
Yeah, you go somewhere else. It's just too confusing.
And that confusion, it trickles down directly to the performance data too. I mean, when you don't know who you are, your metrics won't tell you either.
They just reflect the chaos.
Right. There is a brilliant analogy in the source material for this. Medico writes, attribution can sometimes feel like a marketing game of Clue.
Game of Clue.
Yeah, like everyone has a theory, nobody is completely sure, and somehow Google Ads is always in the room.
That is so good. Google Ads with the candlestick in the library.
Exactly. You just end up with a dashboard full of data, but zero actual clarity on why a customer actually converted.
But wait, let me play devil's advocate here for a second.
Sure.
If I'm running a business, shouldn't I be reading the market and pivoting?
Wow.
Because we are constantly told that agility is the most important trait in modern business, right?
Yeah.
So if the market seems to want discounts 1 week and premium service the next, isn't adapting quickly just a survival mechanism?
I hear that a lot, but agility without identity is just chaos.
Chaos.
Yeah, the fatal cost of an undefined corporate identity is that you are essentially just renting temporary visibility.
Okay.
You're bouncing from one unoptimized ad loop to another, and you just end up spending your budget on casual researchers or bot clicks.
Right, people with absolutely zero intention of buying.
Exactly. You aren't building structural equity. You're just paying a daily toll to exist on a search page.
Which means you're chasing empty traffic volumes
instead
of actual closed revenue. And if being vague was a weakness in the past, the guide makes it really clear that in 2026, it is an absolute operational crisis.
Oh, it's a completely different landscape now.
Because the gatekeepers have fundamentally changed, right?
They have. Traditional search behavior is shifting right under our feet.
Yeah.
I mean, for decades, the model was a user types in a keyword, they get a list of blue links, and they click through to your site to read your copy.
Right. We all know that drill.
But now AI bots, you know, models like ChatGPT and Google Gemini, they are answering user queries natively.
So they don't even need to send you away.
Right. They synthesize the information and present a definitive answer before a prospect ever has a reason to click a link to a company's website.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because this is the terrifying part for a lot of business owners.
I get it. It's intimidating.
If an AI is now acting as the middleman, making the recommendation for a high-value B2B client, how is that AI actually reading a brand's position?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, like what is the algorithm looking for that a human wouldn't?
So the AI is hunting for what developers call information gain.
Information gain.
Yeah. Generative models do not reward broad fence straddling descriptions.
Okay.
If your website relies on the same generic industry buzzwords as your competitors, you know, if you claim to offer comprehensive solutions or synergistic strategies.
Ugh. Synergistic strategies.
Right. If you use those, the models just treat you as a commoditized option. You're interchangeable.
So how do you stand out to a bot?
To be recommended, you have to inject net new knowledge into the AI's training data.
Net new knowledge.
Yes. You need original data, highly defensible point of view, and distinct methodologies, something it hasn't seen a million times before.
But the AI isn't just taking your word for it, right?
Yeah, definitely not.
Like, I can't just write, we are the definitive experts in supply chain logistics on my homepage and expect ChatGPT to blindly recommend me to a Fortune 500 company.
Oh, no, it doesn't work like that at all. The validation mechanics are where the real filter happens.
How does it validate it then?
Generative models cross-reference the structured schema markup on your site, which is the code that tells search engines exactly what your content is about.
Okay, so the back-end code.
Right. They cross-reference that with unstructured third-party review data across the entire web. They are actively fact-checking your specialized market claims.
Oh, wow. So they're looking for receipts.
Exactly. If your site claims you solve a highly specific latency issue for logistics companies, the AI scans third-party platforms to see if actual humans and businesses validate that specific situational experience.
That is wild.
Yeah, if the claims are too broad to be validated or if the internal code doesn't match the external reputation, you are just ignored.
So if the AI is actively hunting for original, highly structured data, we can't just guess what it wants.
No guessing is a fast track to irrelevance.
We have to basically spoon feed it specific inputs.
Yes, exactly.
And Joe Medigo's guide maps out the exact data points required to build that filter.
It does. It's a great framework.
It's called the 6-Question Strategic Blueprint. And looking at this list, these are hardcore operational questions, not creative brainstorming prompts.
Right. They are unyielding by design. The goal is to move past all that marketing fluff and anchor your core strategy directly to pipeline revenue.
Okay, let's go through them. What's the first one?
The first question in the blueprint asks for your exact ideal corporate client node.
Client node.
Yes. And this doesn't mean defining a broad vertical like B2B software.
Right.
It means defining the specific operational size and type of client you serve best.
This is where I see a lot of companies get stuck.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
They might say, well, our software works for a startup with 10 people, but it also scales to an enterprise with 10,000 people. So they just list their client node as businesses of all sizes.
Right. And when you say businesses of all sizes, the AI hears no one in particular.
Oh, yeah.
By failing to specify the node, you dilute your information gain immediately.
Okay, so what's question two?
The second question forces you to identify the primary operational bottleneck that specific client faces.
The bottleneck. So not just a general problem, but a specific hurdle.
Exactly. You have to isolate the core business pain point that triggers a search in the first place. Why are they looking for help today?
Okay, that makes sense. Question three asks for the market category you operate within.
Right, the baseline.
This is about establishing a strategic baseline so the AI knows where to put you on the virtual shelf.
And this is a critical stumble point for a lot of founders.
Really? How so?
Because many businesses try to invent a brand new category name for themselves to sound innovative.
Oh, like we don't do HR, we do human potential optimization.
Exactly. They use terms that absolutely no one searches for. You have to anchor to a recognized baseline category first.
So the AI at least knows the ballpark you're playing in.
Right. Only then can you introduce question four, which is your unique proprietary methodology.
The distinct mechanism for solving the problem.
Yes. The AI cannot measure a claim like we work harder than the competition.
Because it's subjective.
Completely subjective. It can, however, process a distinct named methodology that has specific steps and parameters.
Okay.
It gives the algorithm a tangible concept to associate with your brand.
Which leads right into question five, the specific quantifiable proof point you deliver.
The receipts.
Right. Verifiable data that proves the proprietary methodology actually works.
Exactly.
And finally, question six, the long-term lifecycle revenue outcome for their business.
The ROI.
Yeah, this ties everything back to the client's ROI. So when you put it all together.
Yeah, when you look at all six pieces interlocking, the exact client node, their bottleneck, your category, your proprietary mechanism, the quantifiable proof, and the lifecycle revenue outcome, you are constructing a complete operational identity.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. When a leadership team sits down and actually answers those six questions, they aren't just deciding what headline to put on the website.
No, not at all.
They are dictating exactly which low-yield opportunities the sales team should decline.
Yes.
Building this statement is essentially building a wall against bad leads.
The hidden power of a true strategic filter is knowing who to say no to.
Yeah.
It provides internal alignment across the board. The creative team knows exactly which campaigns to run.
Right.
The web team knows which landing pages to build, and sales knows exactly who they are uniquely positioned to win.
So let's bring this down to earth and see what this looks like in practice.
Sure.
Because the source provides a matrix contrasting weak answers with authoritative answers. And seeing these side by side really highlights how the blueprint functions.
It's eye-opening.
Let's look at an example in enterprise IT services.
So the weak option, what the guide categorizes as a low-value loop, would read something like this. We provide comprehensive tech support and world-class cloud solutions for businesses.
I feel like I've read that exact sentence on 1,000 different websites.
Everyone has.
It's so generic that my brain just glazes over, and clearly the AI's brain glazes over too.
Right, there is zero information gain there. Nothing for the AI to hold on to.
So let's contrast that with the authoritative answer. The high-value asset built using the six questions.
Okay, read it out.
For multi-regional logistics firms, our automated database migration system eliminates latency costs and guarantees Q3 compliance.
I mean, the contrast is just staggering. Every single word in the authoritative answer does heavy lifting.
You know exactly who the node is. Multi-regional logistics firms.
Yep.
You know the proprietary mechanism. An automated database migration system.
Right.
And you know the exact quantifiable outcome, eliminating latency costs and guaranteeing Q3 compliance.
It's airtight.
Let's look at another one from the corporate accounting sector.
Okay, the weak option here is a dedicated financial accounting firm helping companies manage taxes and maximize profits.
Completely commoditized.
Anyone could claim that.
Literally anyone.
Okay.
So the authoritative version is for mid-market B2B SaaS brands facing tracking limits. Our server-side accounting model delivers honest, auditable tax structures.
Boom. By identifying the specific client node, which is mid-market B2B SaaS brands, and their exact operational bottleneck, which is tracking limits, the firm immediately owns a distinct market position.
But wait, let me stop you there.
Sure.
If I narrow my focus exclusively to multi-regional logistics firms or just mid-market SaaS brands facing a specific tracking issue, my total addressable market shrinks overnight.
Yes, it does.
How does shrinking my audience lead to scalable growth? That feels like I'm intentionally leaving money on the table just to satisfy an algorithm.
I get it. And it is the single most common fear executives have when going through this exercise.
Right. It feels counterintuitive.
But the guide addresses this directly. Narrowing your core focus to a specific target audience node actually increases your conversion rate velocity.
Because you stop wasting time and money talking to people who are never going to buy from you anyway.
Exactly. And more than that, it establishes the deep specialized authority required to win premium enterprise accounts.
Okay, give me an example of that.
Think about the multi-regional logistics firm looking for IT support. They're dealing with massive, complex supply chains.
Huge headaches.
Right. They do not want comprehensive tech support. They want the specific partner who deeply understands the latency costs unique to logistics operations.
They want the specialist.
Right. The specialist commands the premium contract, while the generalists fight over the scraps at the bottom of the market.
So you've done the hard strategic work. You've answered the six questions and built this hyper-focused authoritative positioning statement.
The foundation is set.
But a sentence written in a Google Doc doesn't magically sync with a search engine.
I wish it did.
We have to translate the strategy into technical execution, and the guide makes it clear this overhead is immense.
This is the bridge between marketing strategy and technical infrastructure. You can't just paste that new sentence onto your homepage and expect AI models to suddenly understand your value.
Right.
The source emphasizes the need for advanced JSON LD structured schemas.
Right. JSON LD. Think of it like putting a scannable barcode on your website's content.
That's a great way to put it.
The AI doesn't have to spend processing power reading your paragraphs to try and infer what you sell.
It just scans the hidden barcode in the code of your site and immediately knows your industry, your specific client size, and your exact service offerings.
It just reads the data.
That barcode analogy is perfect. You are structuring your data in a language the AI natively understands.
But the technical overhead doesn't stop at schemas, does it?
No, the guide also details the necessity of optimizing mobile landing page loading speeds to fractions of a second.
Wow, fractions of a second.
And crucially, utilizing server-side APIs to handle conversion data.
Okay, let's break down that API aspect. Because client-side tracking, like using traditional browser cookies, is basically dead due to privacy blockers and ad blockers.
It's essentially useless for high-level data now.
So what does server-side actually mean here?
Well, when you rely on client-side tracking, your data is fragmented. The ad networks don't get the full picture of who actually bought your service.
They just see someone clicked.
Right, but by passing first-party conversion data cleanly back to ad networks via server-side APIs, you're directly training the algorithms of Google and Meta.
You're sending the receipts back to the mothership.
Exactly. You are telling their machines, this specific user profile didn't just click a link, they actually signed a closed contract.
Which means you're feeding the algorithm the exact characteristics of your ideal client node as you defined it in your 6-question blueprint.
Right. The machine learns to find your perfect customer because you are giving it complete, uncorrupted feedback.
And this technical precision is what actively eliminates broad, unoptimized keywords from your ad campaigns.
It completely protects your budget from bot fraud and casual searchers. Because the system is strictly calibrated to hunt for the specific node you've defined.
And when the back-end infrastructure seamlessly aligns with that highly specific strategic positioning statement, you arrive at the ultimate transparent metric.
The holy grail of marketing metrics.
You can finally look at a dashboard and say, I spent X dollars on this marketing system, and it returned Y dollars in closed contract revenue.
And honestly, that is the only metric that matters at the executive level. No more celebrating a spike in website traffic if it doesn't result in closed pipeline.
Traffic is just vanity at that point.
It really is.
There are two vivid analogies in the source material that capture the reality of this transition.
I love these analogies.
The first one deals with the timeline. Medico writes, SEO is more like planting an orchard than buying groceries. The payoff can be substantial, but nobody gets apples tomorrow.
It is such a critical expectation to set.
Yeah, that's not a light switch.
Building this level of structural authority,
yeah.
You know, rewriting the schemas, training the APIs, and waiting for the AI models to process and validate your new information gain against third-party data, it all takes time.
It's a compounding asset, not a quick fix hack.
Exactly.
The second analogy perfectly visualizes the technical overhead problem.
Oh, the bucket one.
Yeah, the guide states many websites collect leads the way a bucket collects water after someone forgot to put the bottom in.
Right, and most companies obsess over the water.
They really do. See, what does this all mean for the business owner listening? To me, it highlights how much time we spend agonizing over how to pour more water into the bucket. Buying more ads, launching more social media campaigns, chasing higher traffic volume.
Yeah, pouring more and more water.
But we completely ignore the fact that the bottom of the bucket is missing. If the technical positioning is broken, if the AI doesn't know who you are, if the schemas aren't built and the messaging is vague, all that expensive water just pours straight out onto the floor.
Fixing the bottom of the bucket means committing the organization to this rigorous process of brand positioning.
Right.
It ensures that your digital footprint is actually capable of capturing and converting the traffic you generate. When you align your specialized market expertise with the exact technical parameters, these modern AI recommendation tools require you build a highly resilient system.
You essentially build a growth engine that operates in the background. It generates premium inbound leads while you sleep because the AI knows exactly who to send your way.
Yeah, the modern digital ecosystem in 2026 is deeply hostile to unvetted vague messaging.
Hostile is the right word.
Establishing this machine-readable filter is literally the only way to survive the shift toward automated, fast-moving customer discovery.
It stops wasted ad spend, gives internal teams a definitive true north, and signals to the AI gatekeepers exactly why you are the authoritative answer in your category.
Spot on.
Everyone listening now has the mental framework, right? Those six rigorous questions to evaluate their own company's messaging.
You can go do it today.
Yeah, you can look at your website today and ask, are we the weak option or are we the authoritative answer?
Because in a landscape governed by algorithms, there is very little room in the middle.
There's no room. And I want to leave everyone with a final thought to mull over building on the realities of how AI search models are evolving. If these generative tools increasingly reward highly specialized niche positioning with deep information gain, what is the ultimate fate of the generalist company?
Oh, like the local mid-sized company that prides itself on doing a little bit of everything for everyone.
Yeah, think about it. In a decade, will the concept of a full-service jack-of-all-trades business completely disappear from the digital ecosystem?
That's a scary thought.
Not because they don't do good work or because humans don't value versatility, but simply because the AI doesn't know how to categorize them.
Right.
If we go back to our confused restaurant at the beginning, if the AI can't mathematically validate whether you are a high-end sushi bar or a discount taco stand, it might just pretend you don't exist at all.
Just invisible.
Something to think about. Keep your identity clear and fix the bottom of your buckets. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.